Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Will you pray with me? Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward the heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I learned something about this church's priorities because when Pastor Ann mentioned eating the last brownie, everyone went, ooh. We'll get along well. Well, when I was in college and my intramural flag football team, we absolutely needed to score to be able to move past the first round of the playoffs at the University of Texas. My brother is a very competitive guy, and he gathered our team, we were on offense, gathered us together in a huddle, looked at us with a steely gaze, and said, fellas, the game is on the line. Who wants the ball? As the seconds stretched into eternity of silence, I eventually bowed my head and said, I do, I guess. Very confidence-inspiring, I know. Have you ever looked around for someone else to do something, only to realize you are the only one willing or able to do it? A Texas man found himself in that situation recently when he traveled to Afghanistan and he was asked to donate to an orphanage there. And he did donate to the orphanage and even went and visited it since he was nearby. Met the two locals who were running it. They asked him for some help on preparing financial statements so that their donors would know where the money goes, and he helped them with that. And one thing led to another. Eventually, he found himself CFO of this orphanage in Afghanistan, even though he's a lawyer, not an accountant. When he was interviewed, he laughed at the reporter and said, I probably shouldn't be doing this. We're not professionals at this. If somebody else were, that would be better, and hopefully someday there will be. But for now, there isn't anyone else to do it. Can you identify? The disciples certainly could. They were so hyped up. They were so excited. They were finally going to get to see King Jesus do his thing. No more Jesus meek and mild, but General Jesus throwing out the Romans, and they were going to be his generals along with him. Surely, Lord, this is the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel. But Jesus replies in two disappointing ways to them. First off, he tells them, no, this is not the time. And then he tells them that instead of being generals, they're going to have a different job. Instead of having the power of armies, they're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead of ruling over the nation with Jesus, they are told, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, new job. That was unexpected, but at least we'll still have Jesus to do the heavy lifting, right? Nope. As they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, perhaps the disciples needed something that drastic to realize that Jesus was actually handing over his ministry to them. He didn't do what my brother did and say, who wants the ball? He said, you are getting the ball. And then to underscore his point, poof, he ascends into heaven. And if you ask me, disappearing into heaven, that's a pretty over-the-top way of winning a game of hot potato, but I guess Jesus has other options. But that's when I bet that the disciples were thinking something similar to that man who found himself helping the orphanage in Afghanistan. I bet they were thinking, I probably shouldn't be doing this. We're not professionals at this. If somebody else were, that would be better. Hopefully, there will be someday. But for now, there isn't anyone else to do it. Have you ever looked around for someone else to do something, only to realize you're the only one able or willing to do it? Can you identify? So Jesus tosses this hot potato of ministry to the disciples, and then he ascends into heaven. So what is this hot potato? What is this new job, this new ministry that the disciples are given? It's a very curious job. You will be my witnesses. What comes to mind when I say witness? If someone told you, I have to go be a witness tomorrow, what image would pop into your head? Well, I picture taking the witness stand, raising my right hand, putting my left hand on the Bible, and saying, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's interesting that Jesus chose the word witness here. If we're talking about a courtroom, why not juror? Why not judge? Why not lawyer? Why witness? I looked up some of the oaths that these other groups take today, and it's interesting. To a jury, if you're going to be on a jury, do you solemnly swear that you will consider all the evidence in this case, follow the instructions given you, deliberate fairly and impartially, and reach a fair verdict, so help you God? A juror has to weigh the evidence and come to a fair verdict. They have to judge other people. But Jesus didn't tell his disciples they were going to be jurors. How about a lawyer? To be a lawyer in Colorado, I looked up the oath and I counted at least 12 separate promises to be a lawyer in Colorado. That's a lot of promises to be a lawyer, but Jesus didn't tell his disciples that they were going to be lawyers. He told them, you will be my witnesses. And as a witness, it is our job to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. It's not our job to be jurors. We aren't passing verdict on someone. We aren't here to judge other people. That's God's job. It's not our job to be lawyers. It's not our job to collect the evidence for someone or against someone. That's God's job. Our job is to tell the story of how Jesus has been at work in our lives and to just tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. So that's our new job. That's the hot potato of ministry that Jesus gives to the disciples and to us. But then he also tells them certain destinations, some new offices for your new job. Where are these new destinations? He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's take these in order. Jerusalem's pretty simple. Jerusalem is where they gathered. That was their home base. That was home. Judea is the region surrounding Jerusalem, and so it wasn't home, but it was their neighborhood. It was a familiar place to them. But Samaria is very interesting. If you remember the story of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and the disciples get really grumpy about that. They get grumpy for several reasons, but one of which is that they despised the Samaritans. These were the black sheep of the family. These were the cousin Eddie to the Israelites Clark Griswold. They had different thoughts about worship, different interpretations of the prophecies. To be sent as a witness to Samaria is to be sent to a place and a people you would rather avoid. A place and a people that you'd rather anyone else be sent but you. That's Samaria. And that's where Jesus sends them. Sometimes it's actually easier to think about being a witness in the final location, the ends of the earth, rather than your neighborhood or places and people you'd rather avoid. When I flew into Denver last week, I stayed with a friend who lives in northern Denver, and then I caught a ride with an Uber driver down to Littleton. And as I was talking with this Uber driver, he told me that he had just returned from a year as a missionary. He and his wife had been missionaries in Africa for a year, so we were talking about that. And he said two interesting things to me. He said that in some ways it was easier to be a witness. I'll let them pass by for a second. In some ways it was easier to be a witness overseas than back here. In some ways it was easier to be a witness overseas because there he was the outsider. And so when he did weird things like telling people about Jesus, he was expected to behave strangely. He was the outsider. But then when he comes back here, if he starts talking about Jesus to his neighbors, he's treated very differently. That's not normal here. It's harder in some ways to witness in your neighborhood or a struggling nearby neighborhood than it is in some ways overseas. He also said overseas he was able to focus completely on his missionary task, his witnessing. But over here, he's distracted by work, by school, by retirement, by a million other things. And so being sent as a witness to Judea, to Samaria, that's not easy to witness in your familiar places, to witness with the people and places you'd rather avoid. But it's where Jesus sends his disciples and us. Jesus gives the disciples this new job, this hot potato of ministry. We're going to be his witnesses. So we are called to tell the story of how Jesus has been at work in our lives personally, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. And Jesus says we're supposed to share this witness, this story, in our homes, in our familiar places, in the places and people we'd rather avoid, and even to the ends of the earth. And then after Jesus delivers this spiel, after he gives them these marching orders, he ascends into heaven, he disappears, here's the hot potato, and the disciples are looking up, they're watching, their jaws, you know, are on the floor as he's ascending into heaven. And then two men in white appear to ice the cake. And they tell the disciples, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? As if there wasn't an obvious answer. These men remind the disciples that Jesus already gave them their marching orders, already gave them their job, already even gave them the destination that they are to go to. Now it's time to get off the sidelines and get in the game. It's time to say, you're getting the ball. Are you willing to take it? Even though they were probably thinking at that moment, just like the man helping the orphanage, I probably shouldn't be doing this. We aren't professionals at this. If somebody else were, that would be better, and hopefully someday there will. But for now, there isn't anyone else to do it. So what does that look like for us now? What does it look like to be a witness, to tell the story of how Jesus has been at work transforming your life personally, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in your home, in your familiar places, in the places and people that you'd rather avoid, and even to the ends of the earth? What does that look like for us now? Well, to start with, have you ever shared your faith story with anyone? Have you ever spoken it aloud? Have you ever shared why you follow Jesus, why you come here on a Sunday, why you let the Bible shape your life decisions? If someone asked you, why do you care what some Galilean fisherman wrote about a Jewish rabbi 2,000 years ago, what is your truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Have you ever shared that story with anyone? I used to think that I didn't have a good story because I didn't. Mine was kind of boring. I grew up in a Christian household, so the end. But a friend of mine, that won't make a movie, but a friend of mine encouraged me to look a little more deeply, to look at why did I make my major life decisions? How did my faith shape that? To find out how did I make my faith my own rather than just letting it be my parents' faith? How did God and Jesus use the events of my life to shape and form my character, to draw me ever closer to Christ? Those are part of my story. Even though I don't have one of those drug addict to preacher conversion stories, I still have a faith story with God. What is your faith story? What's your witness? If you've never shared it aloud, I encourage you, maybe spend some time writing down some of those points. Even if you think you've got a boring one like me, write down some of those major points. Here's your heads up. I'm hoping to spend some time one-on-one with as many of you as possible. And when I do that, I'm going to ask you, what is your faith story? How has Jesus moved in your life? I would love to hear how God has been at work in your life and at work in the life of this church. So that's your heads up. I don't know when the quiz will happen, but it'll be one-on-one. So now you can be prepared for that. But in addition to spending time working on your story and so that you can share it with other people, I also hope that you will join me in praying about these destinations that Jesus talks about, these new offices, this Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What would it look like? What does God have in store? Where does God want to move in our own homes, in our own familiar places, in our own places and people we'd rather avoid, and in our own ends of the earth? If you join me in praying about that, maybe you'll receive a word from the Lord personally, or maybe you'll receive a word from the Lord for this congregation. I would love to hear that and hope you'll join me in praying about those destinations. Jesus gives his disciples and all of us a new job to be his witnesses. And that simply means we are to tell the story of how Jesus has been at work in our lives, to tell the truth, to tell the whole truth, to tell nothing but the truth, so help us God. And we are called to share that story, that truth, in our homes, in our familiar places, in the places and people we'd rather avoid, and even to the ends of the earth. And then, at the end of it, the two men in white remind the disciples and us that it's time to get off the sidelines and get in the game. The game is on the line. You're getting the ball. Are you willing to take it? Amen.